yourself for others. There's so much that we learn through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the centerpiece of what it means to be a Christian. And today we're going to think about how then the cross smashes comfortableness. Now, what does that mean? Who doesn't like being comfortable? Hands up. Oh, on the front row. Okay, I'm going to make you uncomfortable then. Is that what you like? You like being uncomfortable? No. Maybe you misheard what I said. We don't like being uncomfortable. We do like being comfortable. That's why most people sit in the middle now. Because of these seats. Less comfortable, more comfortable. Softies, hardcore. Oldies, young ones. Norman and Dawn are just over there. Is it bad to like being comfortable? Maybe that's where you're thinking I'm going. Well, no, it isn't bad to like being comfortable. But if we think that living in this world is supposed to be nothing but comfortable in all the ways that we usually measure comfortableness, and we'll get to some of those, then get ready to have that idea smashed. If we think that following Jesus as his disciple is supposed to be nothing but comfortable, then get ready for that to get smashed. And if we think that growing as a disciple of Jesus is supposed to be nothing but comfortable, then get ready for that to be smashed. Because if that's us, if that's you, if that's me, we've not only lost sight of what it means to live in this world, but we've lost sight of what it means to be saved. Saved from this world. And we've lost sight of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we've fallen away, I would argue, from following him, as we'll see. Now, what is the big problem of comfortableness? Anyone want to have a guess? The big problem of comfortableness. Let me tell you. It's pretty easy to remember. Oh, sorry, over there. Yeah, that's pretty much it. What Fritha basically said was that the problem of comfortableness is that it's so comfortable, isn't it? That's the problem with it. We don't like to move away from it. We don't like to do anything else. And that makes this big problem with comfortableness something that we don't see very easily. So how am I going to help us to see it this morning? Well, I've set this thing up here, okay? And it's called something special. It's called the comfortable zone. Here we go. Who wants to see how that works? Okay, you may not be able to see it from back there. Some of the younger ones might want to come up the front because I need a bit of help to be comfortable, okay? So, here's the comfortable zone. I'm going to show you how it works. Let's bring this with me. It works like this. Oh, yeah. Okay, here I am in my comfortable zone. But I've got other things around me that help make it a bit more comfortable. Okay? So, I need a servant. Who wants to be my first servant? Come on, you lot. Some of the hardcore. Joey's on the hardcore seats. Come on then, Joey. I need a cup of tea, mate. Oh, look. There's a cup of tea just over there. Oh, can't reach it. Oh, thanks, mate. Very good. Okay, that's good. My comfortable meter's going up. Okay, what about some food? Who wants to bring me some food? Thanks, Mabel. Yeah, I'll just use that whole tray for me, will you? The whole tray. Lovely. Oh, yeah. I can. There you go. Beautiful. All right, it's all looking lovely. I'm loving this. Oh, I'm a little bit hot, though. Someone want to come and fan me? Nathan's going to do something. No, you're going to do something else in a minute. Got special plans for you and my comfort. No one wants to come and make me a bit cooler. Thank you. Might have to grab something to fan me with. Or you can just look like you're worshipping me or something. There you go. Oh, it's lovely. Beautiful. I'm loving it. Okay, what else? Ah, bit of paper. Who remembers from 2 weeks ago a particular little paper from the kids' talk? Entitling me to a 20-minute foot massage. And that's Nathan. Okay, Nathan, come on. Yep. Take it away, then. Oh, yeah. Ah, it's lovely. Beautiful. Yeah, okay. Fantastic. Okay, thanks, guys. You can pause. Okay, so here I am in my comfortable zone. I'm very comfortable. Not only have I got my food and my drink, I've also got a lovely blanket here, because I might be getting a bit cold with all that fanning going on. Beautiful, lovely. Also got all my remote controls here and things. And that's one of the things that being in the comfortable zone does. It makes me someone who is always receiving, always being made comfortable by other people, having things done for me, being a consumer rather than a server. It's easier to receive than it is to give. So that's one of the things that the comfortable zone does. It's one of the ways in which we can tend to live our lives. But it's not just being more of a taker than a giver. There's another thing that happens when I'm in my comfortable zone. And I've got all my remote controls here. Although I've just lost my most important one. I can be watching the telly or doing the music. Or doing all sorts of things. They're making phones now where you can do everything with your phone in the whole of your house. It's a bit scary for me to think about that, but I've got my remote controls. And as I sit in my comfortable zone, I become someone who's not involved in the world, but I'm just watching. So I'll watch sport. I'll be a spectator, but I won't be an active participant. I'll see stuff going on in the world. See, I can even kid myself, actually, that I'm playing sport. I've got my Wii here. Here's my tennis racket. And from my comfortable zone, I can even play tennis and kid myself that I'm doing some activity. There it is. You know, when you first get the Wii, people are going like this, doing the proper serves, until they work out that all you have to do is go, not exactly Wimbledon, is it? Very comfortable. But I'm a spectator, not a contender. I'm not a participant. I see what's going on in the world, on the news. There's wars. There's really uncomfortable stuff going on. And then on the same Wii, I can play a game that puts me behind the gun. Me killing people, but without all of the uncomfortableness that goes with that. I can shoot people, but no one dies. And then I can have my food. I can have a big piece of lovely Aberdeen Angus steak and enjoy it. But I'm so far removed from that animal having to be killed to provide me my steak. You see, it's all very comfortable over here in the comfortable zone. And it's very different out there, away from the comfortable zone. So, in my comfortable zone, I feel comfortable. I feel safe. I don't feel threatened. I'm not going to do anything. No one's really going to do anything to me. And I want to ask you very clearly this morning, is that a good way to live life? What do you reckon? Not just talking about Christian life or anything, just life in general. Is that a good way to live life? I don't think it is. Why isn't that a good way to live life? It's comfortable, comfort's good, I like it. Well, hopefully we know there's lots of problems with living in your living room, expecting everyone else to serve you, not bothering to do anything, feeling so safe that you're never going to change no matter what anyone says. It's an illusion. It's not reality. If you sat on that chair for a long, long time, you'd end up with sore bits on your bottom. Pressure sores, even though it's a comfortable chair. That's not part of the comfortable zone. All the responsibilities that you have in life, they're not part of that picture. Your ultimate health and well-being is not part of that picture. Do you know what they say about chairs in the workplace and how it's impacting people's health and well-being? They say the chair kills. Your health and general well-being is not part of that picture. And it would very quickly get very, very boring as well. It's not the way to live your life, but it's the way that some people want to live their lives. And more importantly for us, that's not the way to live the Christian life. But that is the way that some people expect to live the Christian life. To see where the problem comes, we need to listen to what Jesus says. I think I've got to go back to my text. There we go. Here's what Jesus says in the book of Mark. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, my follower, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." It's big stuff, isn't it? So the comfortable zone meets Jesus. And the thing about Jesus is that he is uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. He said uncomfortable things. This amazing person. He did these amazing things. They're recorded in the Bible. Miracles and so forth. People were like, wow, awesome stuff. And they wanted to sort of follow him. And it seems like he wanted them to follow him as well, to be his disciples. But here's how he puts it. It's up there. It was up there a minute ago, sorry, in Mark chapter 8. He says it like this: if you want to follow me, never mind what you think, live your life as if you're being killed very slowly with maximum pain. Well, a way to get a following. Live your life in a way that reminds people of execution by the Romans. Jesus, has anyone ever said to you that's perhaps not the best way to get people to follow you? Who'd sign up for that? How can Jesus say such an uncomfortable thing? Well, the reason he says it is because the truth underneath it is even more uncomfortable. See, losing your life is not the worst thing that can happen to you. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Losing your soul is. The word there for life in Mark 8:35 is better translated soul. It's more than just this life. And what Jesus says here is that to save your soul, you need to be a follower of Jesus. The person who wants to save their soul needs to be a disciple of Jesus, which means losing your life for him. Now that's big talk, isn't it? That's very, very big talk. So Jesus, you want me to swap my version of this, what I want to do in my life, my comfortable zone, all the things that I think will bring me maximum comfort. You want me to swap all of that for a whole lot of uncomfortableness following you? Well, I don't think Jesus would say that, actually. I think Jesus would say, no, you want to make that swap if you know what's good for you. If you want to save your soul. And that's the question here. Do you want to save your soul? You see, Jesus goes on to say, it's worth it. It really is worth it. It's worth it against the best possible version of your ultimate comfortable zone life. I'm just going to put it back up there so you can see it. He says it's worth it even against your best of all possibilities comfortable zone. Much better than that. Even if you gained the whole world, even if you got as much money as you possibly could, did as many things as you think you ever could do, it's worth it to trade that in for what Jesus is offering. Anything and everything we possibly could do, get, and all the rest of it for 70 or 80 years, all being well, here's the deal. Have the whole world for that time? Perhaps, and probably not. But have the whole world for that time? And then spend the next 80 million years in hell before discovering that that's not the end. It's only the beginning. Jesus says it's worth following me. For not only will you not lose your soul in hell forever, but you'll gain life. Life that truly is life, against which any ideas of enjoyment or comfortableness we might possibly have cannot even get close to the reality, and it will continue forever. We don't see that now because we're here. But then, and looking back from 8 million years' time, we'll see it very clearly. Now, Jesus was speaking to the crowd, and speaking to them, he'd just been walking around the countryside speaking and stuff. He hadn't actually died yet. And so the crowd would have had a hard time getting their heads around what Jesus meant, but very soon after, he was arrested. And he was falsely convicted. And he was sentenced to die on a Roman cross. And he did that. We know. So that we might be saved. So that we don't have to face the uncomfortable horror of eternal punishment. He took it on the cross. He took it so that we might become his followers. And so what does that look like, following Jesus? Well, it means following Jesus, as he said, going to the cross. Losing my life for him and for the gospel. And then, of course, because he didn't stay dead, living in a new life as well. So, last point. Jesus gives comfort, not comfortableness. We've got to get this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the first one, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, comfortableness has messed up what the word comfort actually means, I reckon. Comfort means with strength, or together with strength. Com fortis in Latin, like con leche, with milk in Spanish. Con fortis, with strength. To strengthen, to make strong so that you can keep going. In this life, we tend to crave, and certainly in our society, we tend to crave comfortableness, however we define it. But it's very fleeting. But what Jesus gives is comfort, which isn't fleeting, so that we can face this world as it really is, in all of its uncomfortableness. We can endure the uncomfortable things, which we know are going to come to us sooner or later. And we can be comforted, we can be strengthened by Jesus, by knowing him, by the knowledge at least that this old order of things is passing away. And that one day, the hope that we have is there'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more of that uncomfortable stuff that is part of every single day for us here. We can be comforted by that, knowing that they'll one day pass away and be replaced by the new order of things. And we can also be comforted in lots of other ways through Jesus. We haven't got time to go into all of them. But I want to finish by asking you this. Do you want to save your life? Do you want your soul to be safe? Do you want comfort in a world of fleeting comfortableness? If you do, you've got to go to the cross. You've got to trust Jesus and receive what he did in your place. If your answer to "I want to save my soul" is yes, and you have trusted Jesus, then can I ask, are you following Jesus as his disciple? Have you lost your life for him and the gospel, knowing that it's worth it, knowing that he died to save your soul, and losing your life now so that others don't lose their souls? That's what it means for me and for the gospel, for Jesus and the message about Jesus, to bring many others into a place of comfort. How are you going with that? Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for everything. It makes all the difference that he did. And if we're not understanding that, then there's something wrong with the way that we're looking at the cross. If we find we're looking at it a bit funny, go back to what Jesus did and what Jesus said. Well, let's pray, shall we? And ask God's help. Father in heaven, thank you for these words recorded.
the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this life isn't that comfortable, even though we try in so many ways, and people around us try in so many ways to make it as comfortable as possible. The realities are still there. Perhaps even more dangerous because we don't see them as clearly as others do in this world. But Father, we pray that you'll open our minds to think clearly and you'll show us very clearly where we stand. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for showing us him. Thank you for these words that urge us to fix our eyes on him. Because he's done it. He's saved us. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And for us, our lives now are cross-shaped. And we can endure them because of the joy set before us. That we will follow Jesus to the end of our lives. And then into the new life to come. That is our hope. And it changes everything and it's guaranteed because he died on the cross and rose again. Father, would you please put this in our hearts that it may shape our lives, our eternal destinies. We ask for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing another song and then we're going to celebrate this simple meal of the Lord's Supper.